Okay, hello and welcome to Milcrum's webinar on cutting through the noise, strategic comms planning tools. Happy New Year to you all and thank you for joining us. My name is Alex Earle and I'm the head of advisory services for the EMEA region at Milcrum, and I'm proud to be part of a global team who really try to bring our research alive to you through our monthly webinars. Just before we get started, a few housekeeping points. If you are having any technical difficulties today, either hearing me or seeing the slides as they appear on my desktop, then please do contact my colleague Zainab Sharif at zainab.sharif@milcrum.com, and she will try to help you in any way that she can. As always, we will try and allow some time for Q&A, so if you're joining us via the webinar platform, you should see a section on the right of your screen, which enables you to type in a question to submit to us. So Zainab will answer any technical questions and I will look at the questions later on in the session and see what we can answer for you. If we don't get a chance to answer your question before the session finishes, I will try and follow up with you, or you can contact me afterwards at alex.earle@milcrum.com. And I promise that we'll have a hard stop after an hour out of respect for your schedules, but again, we'll follow up with any outstanding inquiries as soon as possible. So that's it for logistics, and hopefully you can hear me okay. So let me just briefly remind you what the forum membership provides for you on slide two. So as you probably know, the forum is our enterprise level membership that's dedicated exclusively to our senior internal communication leaders and their teams across the globe. So we help to solve our members' most pressing IC problems by sharing unlimited and unmetered best practice research and global cross-industry expertise via case studies, tools, webinars, and networking opportunities. So these monthly webinars are just one method by which we can share some of the key teaching points on subjects that you've identified as important to your organization. So these webinars are exclusive to our forum members, but they're unlimited. So you or your team members can dial into as many as you'd like. And we also record them and make them available to you after the event as a replay. So if you do miss them at any time, you can simply go onto the webinar section on our website and download the slides and listen to the recording. So if you have any questions about your forum membership, how to use it, or would like to learn more, please do contact us. And again, we'd be very happy to help. Okay, so that's it for logistics. And let's have a look then at what we'll be covering today. All right, so we're in a new year, so this is a great time to make a fresh start and reflect on your current communication practices to really see how you can improve your approach for the coming year. So, you know, have you asked yourself yet, how are you currently communicating? What bad habits have you potentially found yourself adopting over the past few months? And how can you really improve your communication in 2015? So many of the members we've been speaking to in recent weeks have resolved to be more strategic with their comms planning this year. You know, they've promised themselves they will focus on cutting through the noise to really eliminate redundant and that nice to have communication. Other members are then intent on improving their communication approach to ensure that the right employees receive the right information at the right time, to try and avoid that communication overload and the level of noise around the organization. But to do this, you need tools and templates to sort of plan and manage your communication. So today we're responding to these member needs and we'll be exploring the benefits of planning your comms in a more strategic way. Now, I will tell you that this will involve us going back to basics, first of all, to really make sure we've got these basics right. And it's really imperative we get these right if we want to be more strategic as a function, because we're going to end with some really powerful tools which could really make a difference to how you approach your comms planning. But if you don't master the basics, these tools won't really work for you. So once we've then cracked those basics, we're going to spend some time reviewing examples of editorial calendars and some planning tools from organizations such as Unilever, IKEA, and Shell. But then we're really going to take it to the next level and focus on a great case study from AstraZeneca that we featured in our latest study, the Agile IC Function. Now, AstraZeneca's enterprise thinking system really takes comms planning to the next level by tracking activities and campaigns on a global basis, allowing users to see what's happening up, down, and across the organization. And if you're wondering what the benefits are of this approach, well, it enables faster decision-making, less noise, and greater communication across dispersed communication teams, which is something that I know so many of you are aiming towards. All right, let's get stuck in then. So like I said, we are starting off with the real basics, and I'm sure most of you have seen this model before, but you would be surprised how easy it is to just stray from this model and produce communication that's simply not focused. And you know what, even if we do adhere to it, could we really say the same for our leaders and managers? Probably not. So if this isn't a reminder for your own comms, it's perhaps a good reminder for you to share this with your leaders and managers to help ensure that their comms stays focused. So essentially, this model is reminding us that our principal objective is to communicate for an outcome. And it's really important that at the start of any communication project that you consider know, feel, and do. It's the foundation of internal communication best practice and ensures your efforts remain aligned to business goals and objectives. So whenever we're communicating, we need to look at what do we want people to know? What do we hope that they will feel? And what would we like them to do as a result of our messages? And you can see here with our Venn diagram that the real sweet spot is hitting all three in one message so that our communication is really clear for people. Now, so many of you are going through change at the moment, and this is really important during times of change because although this is basic internal comms, it's really easy to forget this when things are up in the air and everything's changing and we're just so focused on that change. So great model to focus on, great reminder, no feel do. All right, let's look then at how we can ensure our objectives are aligned with the business need. So the purpose of your communication and the outcome always needs to be aligned with the business objectives. And this is to really ensure that our comms is supporting the business and not just nice to have. So having a clear framework for communication planning and measurement helps you structure your conversation with your business partners and your stakeholders across the organization, which can enhance your discipline and your real value. So this pyramid model is creating that connection from the business strategy at the top to your comms objectives. And finally, at the bottom, the metrics that you're producing. So using a model like this will align your comms work with the business objectives and produce the proof that your executives and stakeholders will understand. So to complete this, ask yourself, what's the overarching business critical goal? You know, do you have a new business direction, for example, or are you merging with another company? You know, that's what you need to think about. And then once you've identified this, you can plot your business critical goal in the top of your pyramid. Then you need to consider, well, what are the comms objectives that will support that overarching goal? For example, are you looking to drive awareness or engagement or loyalty? Do you have different audiences with particular goals for each? So think about what your objectives are, define a minimum of two per audience, and then list those in segment two with the comms objectives. Step three for your KPIs is really identifying what KPIs, what key performance indicators will best indicate that you have successfully met those comms objectives and therefore the business critical goals that they're underpinning. So here it's actually a good idea to meet with your business partners and stakeholders and together define and agree at least three, and then put those in that section of your pyramid. And then finally, you think about what IC metrics will give you the information you need to progress towards meeting your KPIs. So make sure that these metrics relate to the KPIs at hand, because don't forget, if they don't impact your KPIs, you shouldn't be measuring them. So you list those in the bottom of your pyramid. So once this is completed, you then have a framework for communication planning that you can use to prompt and structure the conversations you're having with your business partners and stakeholders, which should really strengthen your planning process. Let me show you an example then of an organization that's put this into action and achieved real results. So this is taken from a case study that we focused on with Deloitte for one of our measurement studies. And putting this model into practice, you can see how Deloitte aligned their communication objectives to define their KPIs and complete the full story. So this is showing us their comms objectives, and then in turn that the comms function is delivering on the business strategy and how they're doing it. So you see here their KPIs. I mean, these are really the critical connective tissue that are linking their tactical metrics at the bottom to the high level objectives in blue. And these were the ones that the IC team felt that they should be striving to achieve. So their KPIs are around achieving 90% awareness of the strategy among line managers, 75% of awareness of strategy across the employee base, and ensuring 65% of their unit professionals have confidence in leadership and its strategic direction. So these KPIs are supporting the business strategy to ensure all employees are on board with this new strategy. So you can see that this pyramid blueprint really enables Deloitte to evaluate its internal communication in terms of how successfully its level of tactical activity that you see at the bottom. So it's content downloads, survey participation, town hall participation, how they are supporting business critical KPIs to be achieved. And those KPIs are including specific and measurable targets around levels of awareness, engagement, and confidence among employees and managers about the firm's new business strategy, and then the ability of leaders to help realize that strategy. So by building these KPIs in consultation with the broader business, Deloitte's internal comms team has not only turned its metrics into hard numbers, but it's also increased understanding of the IC function's influence and impact at the highest strategic level. I'm just going to pause for a second there and do a quick poll then to see how many of you are using a template or a framework like this. Okay, so quick poll for you all, let's keep it interactive. So do you use a framework or a template to align your comms objectives with your business objectives? So yes, no, sometimes, or no, but we'll consider introducing one. Leave that open for a few seconds for you to complete. So do you use a framework or template to align your comms objectives with business objectives? So whether it looks something like this or whether it's something very different, maybe another tool that you've used from Melcrum or something that you've developed yourself. Is this something that you use? A few more seconds and I'll close the poll. All right, let's end it there. So we've got over 40% say yes, 41.1% say yes. We've got only 4.4% saying no, 28% saying sometimes, 25% saying no, but we'll consider introducing one. Okay, very interesting. Thank you for that. All right, so once you've identified your objectives, your KPIs and your metrics then, how do you make sure your objectives are SMART? Let's have a look at that. So again, this is back to basics, and I'm sure you're all familiar with the acronym SMART, and hopefully using this model to frame your objectives. But again, like I said, beginning of the year, time to lift up and have helpful reminders, I always think. So when you're setting your goals, your KPIs, you need to make sure that they're SMART, that they are specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound, so that you're actually able to measure them. And as it says on the right-hand side, you know, it's important to remember that valuable communication objectives focus on the outcome for the business, the employee, the customer, or the stakeholder. It's not about them focusing on the communication activity itself. All right, so that was just a quick reminder. So far we've looked at how we can ensure our comms have a purpose and how we can ensure our comms objectives are not just nice to have, but must have because they're aligned with the business objectives. So now I want to turn our attention to reducing the amount of noise in the organization and ensuring that we're targeting our comms at the right audience at the right time. So smart content doesn't try to be everything to everyone. You know, doing that simply dilutes the power of your message, and few people are inspired by watered down words. But when you know who your readers are, why they're interested in your writing and what they need from you, it helps you to really create that relevant content that meets their needs. So segmenting your audience is a great way to really ensure your comms is much more targeted, tailored, and relevant to your audience. It also enables you to reduce the amount of noise in the system. So again, this may be something you're already doing, maybe something you've done in the past. It might be a helpful reminder, but you know, audience analysis is really critical to an effective content strategy, because the more you know about who you're talking to, the more effectively you can reach and inform, influence, and engage them. So this may involve you considering audience demographics and psychographics. So on the right-hand side in the blue box, you can see examples of ways in which you can segment your audiences, including role or tenure, age, technical competence, or level in the organization. So as a starting point, you might want to ask yourself, okay, well, what sector or level of the organization am I talking to? Do I have just one primary audience, or is there a secondary audience? And if so, how do they relate to each other? What's their educational background? What's their gender, their generation, their income? What do they currently know, feel, and do about the topic that I'm writing about? Have they even heard about it before? How are they likely to react? What changes may affect my communication? And are there any relative or relevant sensitivity issues or facts that I need to consider? So this is a good starting point for you to think about segmenting your audiences. But a number of organizations are now taking this a step further and undertaking persona work to really get into the hearts and minds of their employees and help them to tailor their comms. So let's take a quick look at Adidas as an example here. So by taking a user-centric perspective and developing personas, i.e. fictional characters that are designed to represent different user groups, Adidas managed to tap into audience analysis to understand exactly what their employees needed to perform their jobs better and faster. Now, this work was undertaken to develop their new intranet, but the activity itself, the principles that underpin their persona work, can really help you to inform your overall comms approach. So it's definitely worth paying attention to. So some of the best personas are based on ethnographic research rather than pure imagination. So at Adidas, the internal comms team conducted over 20 interviews with employees. And you can see on the left-hand side of the slide, the approach that they followed, cutting across 9 different segments, including location, seniority, and character. Then the findings from those interviews form the basis of empathy mapping workshops, using this template on the right-hand side. So the output of the workshops informed 18 personas that they created. And it's important to note that these personas don't reflect one particular role, but a cluster of user types. So remember that the best personas are a blend of the rational and imaginative. So facts ensure your personas really truly reflect your audience, while your creative flair gives your personas personality and bring them to life. So you can see on the right-hand side, I know it's very small, but you can access this the slide in larger detail on our website to really see some of the content they put in there as one of the fictional personas that they developed. So a few key tips on persona work. So to paint a useful picture of your audience, think in terms of employee personas. Build either quantitative or qualitative descriptions that really bring your readers to life. So for example, with your quantitative persona, you might say, well, this campaign is aimed exclusively at existing business development managers and call center employees in our branches across the country. The primary target audience is maybe male, 20 to 35 years old, with an average household income of 45K. So that could be one of your quantitative personas. Whereas your qualitative persona, you know, one of your example might be, well, our business development managers are key points of contact with our customers, but you know, they spend most of the time on the road. And little leadership support has created a lack of engagement around maintaining data. They're comfortable with new technology, but you know, their ability to understand our platform is limited. So paperwork and process don't appeal, and that this audience is competitive by nature. So you can see they're really getting into the hearts and minds of kind of the different type of personas they have in the organization. But most importantly, if you're doing this, always ask yourself the question, what's in it for me? Or what's in it for them? You know, this is the crucial question to ask. If you want your audience to consume your communication and keep coming back for more, you need to make it worth their while. So ask yourself, why should they care? And make sure that you're then exceeding those expectations. So knowing where employees' interests lie and targeting your content accordingly is the difference then between this scattered approach that tries to achieve too much and does little well, and an efficient method of creating content that meets readers' needs. All right, that's a lot of information then. So let's just summarize this section with a few key tips on audience segmentation then. So a few key tips here to successful segmentation might include meeting with your marketing or HR departments to research your company's demographics and workforce profile. So some of this data will already have been researched. You don't have to start from scratch. Then think about how you simplify. Are there ways to find common patterns of need across multiple segments so you've got a handful of groups that you're addressing at once rather than hundreds of groups. Thirdly, find out how your employees want to gather information. So it's worth asking them, doing focus groups and checking in with them every so often to see if that's changed. Different groups will have different expectations, different ways in which they access communication, different preferences. Then remember, when you're using social media, keep in mind that you're a facilitator of information, not just a corporate voice. And just think about your company culture. If your company works best with basic information, then stick to it. So this really shows the need to, you know, build relationships with others in your organization, whether it's HR or marketing, whether it's IT, or it's building relationships with your employees. So it's really something to think about. And I would love to know whether this is something that you're doing already. So I'm going to do another quick poll. Bring it up, bear with me. All right, so another quick poll. Keen to see, do you undertake any segmentation or persona work in your organization currently? Yes, segmentation. Yes, persona work. Yes, both. No, neither. No, but we'll consider it. Open for a couple more seconds. Do you undertake any segmentation or persona work currently? All right, let's end it there. So overwhelmingly, over 57% are undertaking segmentation right now, with far less individuals undertaking persona work, and then just under 8% doing both. Just about under 8% doing neither, and then just over 23% doing neither, but we'll consider it. Okay, fantastic. Thank you. So we've looked at the purpose of our comms and how we can segment our audiences. So once we've decided who we're communicating to and why, how can we ensure our communication is effective? So when we developed our study on digital comms, we found a number of organizations were rethinking the way they developed their content to ensure it was much more effective for their audiences. So with Coca-Cola Enterprises and Enbridge, for example, we found that as they developed their mobile strategy to enable their employees to access content from their smartphones, they realized they needed to rethink their comms approach. So move away from lengthy narrative to shorter, more succinct and relevant bite-sized content. So based on their approaches then, here are three golden rules that are really worth considering as you develop your content. So firstly, be succinct. Where possible, favour succinct, concise storytelling over lengthy press release style content. So prepare your content to be delivered in small bite sizes, ready for consumption. You know, think about how we consume information in our personal lives. We're used to short, punchy headlines that tell us what we need to know in one or two lines. We generally don't make time for lengthy narrative these days. Secondly, be focused. And this is where less is often more and quality supersedes quantity. So for example, with Enbridge, they decided to only share three new pieces of content each week via their mobile app because they wanted to ensure employees only received updates on the most important and relevant news information that they needed to do their jobs effectively. And Coca-Cola Enterprises have taken the approach of 3 + 3 + 3. So they now only share 3 global, 3 local, and 3 divisional news stories per day. So it's only the most important comms shared at each section. And finally, be relevant. You know, ask yourself this important question. Do employees need this information? Will it help them do their job? Or will it help them to be a brand ambassador? So is it relevant? Does it have a call to action? Is it worth their employees' time? So by pausing to consider these three questions, you can start to eliminate those nice-to-have comms that often overloads the system with too much noise, and instead providing employees with information that's easier to digest, easier to understand, and that's actually applicable to their roles. Another way then to improve your content is by measuring the level of engagement that your audiences have with it, and then learning from trends over time. So let's take a quick look at how Shell have approached this. So you may have seen this before. This is an approach that Shell developed a couple of years ago. And they wanted to measure the impact and effectiveness of their digital messages to really ensure that their stories were engaging their employees. So they developed this algorithm based on our good old model of no, feel, do, which we've already looked at today. So the no is the number of unique visits, the people who are coming to read the message. The intended audience is the people that message is aimed at. The number of stories are the other messages out there, the noise. Then the feel is the number of likes, the emotional response. The number of comments is also an emotional response, but more so than likes. You know, if we're going to comment on something, we generally feel more engaged and passionate about it than if we're just liking something. And that's why the weighting is more than what it is for likes. And then you times it by 100 for a round number. So they use this algorithm then to assign a score to each message or story that they're sharing each month. And once they then assign the scores, they can line these scores up from best to worst, place them into 4 quadrants and or 4 quartiles, and then identify what are the common themes in the top quartiles and also the bottom quartiles. So they'll look at, you know, what do the messages in the top quartile share in common? Is it author, theme, layout, inclusion of links, length of story? You know, and likewise, what do the messages in the bottom quartile share in common? So over time, you can then analyze the trends of those in the top quartile each month versus those in the bottom quartile each month to really identify what are the most engaging forms of content, and thus allowing you to improve your content over time. Now, if you're looking at this and thinking, oh, but we can't measure likes and comments with our system, but we can measure other things, you can absolutely tweak this to your own needs. And lots of organizations have done that already. So they're tracking things like actions or ratings, number of followers or tweets. So adapt this to what makes most sense for you. So another quick poll, keep you on your toes, is to find out whether you are using anything like this at the moment. So are you using an algorithm or another approach to measure engagement with your content? So I know that a number of you have already seen this and used it. Others of you have developed your own. Then there may be other ways in which you're measuring engagement with your content. So is this something that you're using at the moment? Open for a few more seconds. Right, let's end the poll there. Interesting, so just over 20% of you are saying yes, you're using something. Just over 20% of you are saying no, but almost 60% of you say no, you're not using something, but will consider it. Okay, excellent. Well, obviously there's more information on using this algorithm and ways in which other organizations have tweaked this on our website that you can access after today's webinar. All right, let's pause for a moment then and just to check we've got all of our ducks in a row before we release our communication then. So, you know, one of the key lessons we learned from our study on the Agile IC function was the importance of pausing, slowing down to review our activities so far, to make any adjustments we need before then accelerating to progress things forward. So we're going to apply that lesson here and just take a moment to review the actions we've taken and whether we're ready to communicate. So we've spent time so far reviewing the purpose of our comms, ensuring it's aligned with the business strategy, that we're communicating with the right audience at the right time, and that our content is effective and engaging. So this checklist is something that Seaman shared with us a while ago, and it's really a helpful tool to refer to before you progress further to ensure you've ticked all your boxes. So before you develop your plan, go back over your actions and conversations so far and just check you've collated information on the following areas to really make sure that this helps you build your plan. All right, let's move on then to consider how we can work effectively alongside our comms colleagues to ensure we're aligned as a team with our comms and that we're not just working in our own silos. So we've just reviewed the basics of good communication planning and developed a solid foundation to creating content. But where many organizations and many communicators get stuck is in planning that editorial. So without careful thought, messages can be too many and seem disjointed. So as we look at editorial planning and the tools that you can use, there are a few guiding principles that you'll want to keep in mind. Firstly, there are numerous different versions of editorial calendars and planning tools being used out there. Some that provide high-level detail on certain projects, while others provide low level of individual activities, but this wider view into the level of comms that's underway and how projects relate and depend on each other. Ultimately, though, there's no one-size-fits-all approach. You know, you really have to develop something that's suitable and appropriate for your own function and organization. So we think there's various insights and tips and approaches that can be learned from the following few organizations that really should be able to help you build your own planning calendar or tool. So as we walk through these examples, make a note of any particular aspects of approach that you think could help develop your own tool or resource. Let's take a look then at the first tool, starting with one from IKEA then. So this is a communication calendar that IKEA kindly shared with us last year, and it's just built in Excel, so it's not a fancy platform at all. It's a system that we all have access to. So you can see it provides this high-level, holistic view of company-wide campaigns delivered internally and externally across the organization. Now, I know it's difficult to make out much, if any, of the wording, as we wanted to squeeze in the whole calendar to show you how they've structured it. So let me just walk you through some of the key aspects. So across the top, you've got the months of the year, and then down the left-hand side, you've got the strategy various different strategy areas. So, for example, you've got commercial PR in the first box in blue. So that's their internal and external comms combined. Then you've got their corporate comms with internal comms in orange, external comms in yellow. Then you've got their comms and sustainability with the darker green on internal, lighter green on external. HR comms focused on the theme of a great place to work, split across internal and external comms in pink. And then finally, their comms on the IKEA Foundation in the two shades of yellow for internal and external comms. So you can see how this maps out their key strategic themes across the year, with then arrows connecting campaigns between strategy areas. So this is a great example of a tool that helps you to find overlaps in campaigns, to spot when campaigns may compete with each other, or to discover connections between campaigns. You know, is there a narrative that aligns these different campaigns? Or it helps you look for gaps. Is there a campaign missing or has something moved? And then finally, it helps you plan your comms support. So if HR is sending a lot of communication during one time period, their comms person is going to be super busy and probably not available. So how can you step in and help? Or do other things need to move to free up their time? So in summary then, the key insight here is to have this very top level holistic view of all the campaigns and messages and just make sure that they're connecting in narrative, timing and content. All right, let's take a look at another approach then, but this time from Unilever. So here you can see a screenshot of Unilever's digital channels roadmap. Again, it's just built in Excel, so it's not a fancy tool that's required. And this is the central reference point for all of their major digital comms initiatives that they will roll out across the year. And importantly, this is obviously connected to their corporate comms strategy. So this tool provides opportunities for their digital community to lift up and see the bigger picture of their work. So what's going on across the wider digital comms community, as well as what their role is and how they fit into this. So the tier one projects that you see, they must be executed consistently and globally. So these include comms around quarterly financial results or people-focused comms. So the digital editors who are using this tool know that they are accountable for communicating about these key projects at these identified times. So they must build in time for this activity in their schedule. Then you can see the tier two projects, and these are still important ones, but these can be launched on more flexible timelines, and digital editors can then add in their own more local context for these projects. So you can see that this might include comms on their sustainable growth projects or ongoing people comms. So this is a really handy tool that helps the digital editors see what's coming up in the pipeline, the importance of each project and when they need to communicate. And it also helps them then manage stakeholder expectations as they're able to push back on less important projects when they absolutely have to be focused on those tier ones. Now, this digital roadmap also links to an interactive comms planning calendar. So let's take a look at that. So this is a screenshot of their comms planner, which is an interactive tool that's built in Salesforce.com. And this helps the comms professionals input their activities and track them alongside their colleagues. So you can see that this contains much more detail on each of the discrete campaigns that supports the roadmap's initiatives. So it's providing that extra layer of visibility and planning support for editors. So you can literally click on any of the activities and see the details of what's planned. And importantly, this tiered approach then is informing the team of what's global versus local communication, which I know so many of you are trying to balance in your own organizations. So again, you've got those tier one comms activities. So all campaigns in this section need to be communicated globally to all employees. So at a glance, any communicator knows when these global messages will be going out. And then this tier two comms are either local or audience specific comms that may not affect all areas of the business. So digital editors know to share these comms where it has most impact for the business. So connecting these two sections gives you the glance of overlaps for local offices, but also informs you of when one audience or location may already be receiving a lot of communication. So two great examples of tools being used at Unilever to really help their comms professionals better prepare for, manage, and coordinate their communication on a global local basis. Let's look at a third example then, taken from Shell this time. So this is a comms planner that Shell developed to map out the key strategic themes they would be communicating about during the year. So when they launched their new global strategy, they wanted to really amplify the level of discussion around their strategy and get everyone talking about it at the same time. So this is to make sure that everyone in the organization has an opportunity to engage in dialogue about what the strategy is focused on, what it means for the organization, and really what it means for them as individuals. So this comms planner was developed for leaders and managers to show them the key themes that will be discussed across the year, to really help them prepare their comms in advance. So again, it's leaders and managers who are responsible for communicating these key themes, not just IC's role. So this planner provides them with that fair warning and support in advance to ensure they build time into their schedules to focus on the relevant comms at the right time. So across the top, you see the months of the year grouped into sections, and each section is focused on a specific dialogue theme. So for example, what differentiates Shell from its competitors, or how they can focus on operational sharpness. And then down the left, you can see the indicative actions that will be required. So interactive actions include stories and messages online and via traditional broadcast channels to raise awareness of the strategy and provoke discussion. Then leaders and managers will be required to dedicate at least 15 minutes of their team meetings on the strategic theme to engage employees in dialogue on the theme. And importantly, the IC team at Shell provides leaders and managers with toolkits and conversation starters to help them drive those conversations forward. And then to drive real buzz around the organization and ensure that communication is being effectively cascaded, they have skip level calls or meetings run through the organization. So that's when you would check in with your manager's manager and your direct reports would connect with your manager to really ensure that that flow of communication is happening up and down the organization, breaking down hierarchies and bringing levels closer together to continue the dialogue on these key themes. And one really important thing to note, really interesting point, something that Shell do, is that they put in place what they call no-fly zones during the periods when they're discussing these strategic dialogues. So these no-fly zones mean they're not allowed to communicate about anything else big during that time. So they must be really focused on driving the dialogue on those specific things. So this is a great tool for engaging leaders and managers in comms, you know, helping to drive large narrative messages and focusing on one theme at a time. And that really will help you to reduce the noise and really add focus to the conversation. So again, quick poll. Let's just pause really quickly to find out whether you are using anything like this at the moment. So are you using any kind of editorial calendar or planning tool at the moment? So yes, frequently, no, never, sometimes, no, but would consider using one now. Okay, so this is looking interesting. So I'm gonna, couple seconds, pause it there. Okay, so 65% of you say yes, you are using that currently, which is great news to hear. Let me see if I can broadcast the results to you. Then less than 2% of you are never using it, 22% are using it sometimes, and then just over 11% of you would consider using one now. All right, fantastic, that's great to see. All right, let's summarize then how we can be more effective at developing effective editorial calendars and editorial planning then. So a few quick steps, making sure that you really are, you know, putting together that effective killer content, you know, really making sure that you're providing content that's, you know, bringing your readers back to read your content again and again. So getting the right people involved, you know, you're talking to your stakeholders, planning your content strategy with key partners, making sure you're meeting business goals, get your exec approval on the overall approach, get everyone involved in that content creation. Start with your content, not channels. You know, specifically, what are the stories, answers, information, and ideas that your employees want to hear most about? What are the biggest pain points? What are the topics of the most frequent conversations? You know, make these the themes of the crux of your content. Then aim for fresh and relevant formats. So, you know, it's not enough to just have great content if this never makes it to readers. So think about channels that are accessible, digestible, and suit your subject matter. Then consolidate your themes, your formats, and thinking. So, you know, the program you use to map and track your calendar will depend on your organization and your requirements. But as we've seen, Excel is typically a good place to start. So a master editorial calendar where you can see an overview of all of your content at a glance, you know, is really vital. And then finally, think about repurposing your best stuff. So the best editorial calendars leverage great content in multiple ways. So it helps you look for connections across the content. It helps you to spark ideas and how you can repurpose material via different sources. And that will save you time and ensure that you're engaging readers in diverse and relevant ways. So this has been a great start. We've looked at a number of editorial calendars, but we're not done yet. We're going to now take our view even higher to the next level of planning with a case study from AstraZeneca. So this is from our latest study from the Agile IC function, which explores the approach that AstraZeneca have taken to coordinating, streamlining, and managing their comms across a global and dispersed business. So their approach involves an enterprise thinking system, which involves both people collaboration and tools. So what you see here is like a visual illustration of their enterprise thinking system. And the black figures represent their corporate affairs leaders who form their communication forum. So these corporate affairs leaders are generalists who then support specialist areas of the business, for example, brand or science units or policy. So that means that they sit apart from each other in the business, but they're brought together via the comms forum, which is charged with the strategic planning of comms for the organization, as well as using comms to tackle business issues to gain competitive advantage, which is something that I don't think as many of us are doing as we should be. So this group of leaders comes together as the comms forum once a month for 2 hours to plan their comms priorities. And at the heart of their planning is the knowledge they get from this supporting global calendar that you can see a small screenshot of in the middle. So their approach to enterprise thinking involves regular and deep connectivity between the various parts of the business through the comms forum, as well as this central global calendar that binds them together with this tool to inform their planning and decision making. So let's just take a look at this way of working in a bit more detail. So essentially, AstraZeneca's approach involves their communication leaders from across the business inputting business activities, not comms activities, business activities into their global calendar. So they've deleted all of their other calendars. They've just got this one calendar that's reviewed for 2 hours every month for a shared goal of more coordinated planning and prioritization. So the calendar inputs are business activities, which enables IC to break out of its silo and spot engagement opportunities, as well as conflicting priorities. Now, recognizing that, you know, how important it is to have this enterprise visibility, the group builds this information sharing via the global calendar into their individual objectives. So they're all held accountable for inputting data into the calendar. So this shared goal ties them together beyond the org chart and strengthens that connection. The tool is then accessible to hundreds of communicators around the business, and they're considering extending it to executives and employees in the future, which will take that enterprise thinking even further, you know, beyond just communicators. So, you know, as we aspire to be more agile IC teams, the real benefits of this system is that it helps to spot and eliminate redundancies, as well as provide that context and awareness of the bigger picture to help them make better business decisions. So, you know, if or rather when change hits our organization, if you're already working in this way, it's much easier to work together and reprioritize your comms much faster and more effectively. So I know what you're all dying to see is the tool in more detail. So let's take a look at this in more detail. All right. So at the core, the tool at the heart of this system is a calendar, and its key source of business knowledge for hundreds of communicators around AstraZeneca. So it helps this group of corporate affairs leaders to plan and allocate resources to activities up, down, and across the organization. So, you know, we've seen a number of calendars. Many of you've got different calendars, but many of them are not integrated into existing widely used platforms. Most of them are mainly used purely for editorial planning and are just maybe one of dozens of other calendars. They're often one-dimensional and they're often not visible to anyone other than IC. So this calendar goes wider than communication activities. It's about these business activities that provide the visibility that informs the communication planning. And the fact that they've got these consolidation of multiple calendars into one, and the addition of smart tagging gives instant and context-relevant views of the business activities that comms should be running towards, or in fact, leaving alone. So the coolest thing about this is it's tagged in a really smart way that allows anyone to see what's happening within the business through a number of filters. You see these on the left-hand side. So you can filter by strategic priority, unit, and even activity type. So it helps you see all the big ticket activities at any given time and get that contextual intelligence that you need for your comms planning. Then along the top, you can quickly toggle between a global view or a market view. So that means that you've got the opportunity to spot conflicts or periods of noise or dial up communications activity where there are critical opportunities. Then on the right, you can see they've got color coding for instant recognition of event type. And then below that, you can see the step-by-step support for new users on how to add new events. So this is, you know, really about having that visibility of the bigger picture. But the tool's only successful when people use it. So let's look at the enhancements that they've made to this calendar to make sure that people are using it on a day-to-day basis. So this is a really, you know, the main thing about enterprise thinking is that the more people who use it, the more information that goes into it, the more useful it will be. So economists call this the network effects. It's like Facebook or LinkedIn, right? There's no value to them if no one else is using them. But once there's a high number of people using them, the more effective and valuable it becomes for everyone else. So if your activity is not in the planner, you're essentially ignorant of what's going on everywhere else, and you won't align your activities with your colleagues' activities and have the full impact of, you know, what it could have if others could see it and help promote it. So that's why it's critical to ensure that your calendar is integrated into existing systems and workflows and that it's intuitive to use. So this is what you see when you put an activity into the calendar. And importantly, you can attach files to an activity that's in the calendar. So presentations, plans, templates, agendas, frameworks. So it's all about making the planning easier and integrating it in the workflow. And then the calendar also links to online work groups. So in this case, it's SharePoint workspaces. And that's to make sure it remains front of mind and doesn't end up being this standalone calendar, but actually something that aids collaboration. Let's quickly look then at more information on an activity that's been published then, so you can see some of the final benefits. So this is what you see when an activity's already been published. So there's some really comprehensive metadata in there that's key to the filters. So you can see activity type, business priority, and therapy area. So the description box that's highlighted, that typically contains information such as goals of the activity, or key members of the project team and what the comms plan is. And then if you look down to the flag to section, you can see that items can be flagged to various groups as a call to action, which also helps to monitor workflow. And then finally, we've listed on the left-hand side the kind of activities you typically see in this agenda. this calendar. And again, it's business activities, it's not communication activities. So, you know, the most important thing here is that none of this stuff that AstraZeneca have done takes dramatic evaluations of new platforms. You know, it's stuff that you can do to your existing intranet platform, whether that's Jive or SharePoint or any other platform or system that has some element of content management system and a calendar. So for AstraZeneca, development and enhancement costs have been minimal because it's been built on the out-of-the-box SharePoint solution. Not fancy, it's just extremely practical, and uses, you know, things like tagging and integration to be more reflective of other tools that we're using. So now we've looked at the details of this tool, let's just finish off with some results that AstraZeneca can boast since implementing this new enterprise thinking system. So you can see that now the team at AstraZeneca has got far more visibility into what's happening across the organization. They're no longer flying blind with no idea of what's happening in different regions, functions, and parts of the business. So before they developed this tool, 70% of their activities were unplanned, whereas now 80% of their activities are planned. And then the 20% that's unplanned is because of a conscious decision to have it not planned, because you know, that enables them to be more agile and allows them to plan for the unplanned. So beforehand, they used to have about 48 hours to deal with whatever landed on their desks. Now they've got 2 months to plan things. And in fact, they don't even have to wait for it as they can see what's coming down the pipeline. So it means they can be way more proactive than reactive now and really anticipate what they'll need to respond to and when. So, you know, ultimately, this means that internal comms can deliver much better value for the business. And the stats here show this. You know, employees' understanding of strategy and belief in strategy have improved considerably. Because internal comms is much more coordinated as a function and much more transparent. So comms as an output is much more coordinated. And that's leading to far less noise. So the critical thing here is that they can spot opportunities and clashes. So if there's too much going on in a different day, they can pull a campaign, they can move it to a quieter period, or they can spot opportunities to align campaigns. So we think this, you know, is really a fantastic approach. It's one that's, it's not rocket science, it's easy to adopt and easy to implement yourself. All right, let's finish off then by just reminding you of the next webinar date and time. And if we get a chance, I'll try and look at some of your questions, but if not, I will follow up after the webinar, I promise. All right, so the next webinar will be held Wednesday, February 11th, same time. And we will share more information on the topic of this webinar shortly in our webinar invites. So that's what we've had to cover today. I know that we've covered a lot. I hope it's been helpful. I know that we were going back to basics with some things, but like I said, we've got to get those things right to really be able to use these powerful tools that we've seen from IKEA and Shell and Unilever, and most importantly from AstraZeneca. So I hope that the tips, the lessons learned, the guidance that we've provided in these slides has been helpful. We will be providing the recording of this webinar and the slides on our website tomorrow, hopefully, so that you can access the slides if you want any more information. But if you'd like further information on any of the case studies that we've talked about, again, please do email me, alex.earle@melcombe.com, and we can be very happy to share those case studies in full. And again, I know that we're running out of time, so I will look at your questions after today's session. And we'll make sure that I get back to you with the responses. But I hope it's been helpful, and would love to just do a final poll and see how you would value today's webinar, how helpful it has been for the work that you're doing. Hopefully some aspects of it have been helpful for what you're working on. So we'd love to see how you would rate the value of today's webinar, and very much hope you can join us next month as well. So thank you very much for your time. We'll finish now and look forward to speaking with you next month.